Well, welcome to Understanding the Gospel. And our question today is going to be, can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? A few years ago, a survey was done by the BBC. Some 2,000 people responded, and 25% who called themselves Christians said they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Interesting, because when we look at the book of Acts and we look at every major sermon recorded in there, the great theme recorded in that is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans tells us if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection?
I think it's important to stress, because Scripture does. You mentioned in the preaching, but also in different parts of New Testament, the epistles in particular, the Apostle Paul goes to some length to explain the significance of the resurrection and the implications for Christians, professing Christians, if there was no resurrection, which shows that the resurrection is fundamental to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm. The fact that the Lord Jesus died for our sins is intimately connected and inseparable from also the fact that he rose again. His resurrection demonstrating the validity and value of what he did in his death by God raising him from the dead, breaking the power of death and providing the Christian hope for eternity. So the gospel that is presented to people must include the resurrection, as you've shown in the book of Acts, for people to respond to a risen, glorified Saviour. It's absolutely crucial to the gospel.
And that's what makes it distinctive as well. There's no other message that's preached that a living Saviour is preached about, that he is alive.
He is alive, and that's where the apostles were commissioned after the Lord Jesus died and went back to heaven. They were commissioned to go and to be witnesses to him, and part of that witness was that they had witnessed the resurrected Christ and could bear testimony to him.
There's a very good point in there. I mean, you look at the very first major sermon recorded in the book of Acts, and as Peter stands up on that day of Pentecost, he goes back to what we now call the Old Testament and said the Old Testament predicted the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16, you know, David spoke and he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of Christ. So if there's no resurrection, the prophets weren't true. Peter also says this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Well, that's what Peter said.
Yeah, I think that the thing as well is that when the apostles were focusing on the truth of the resurrection, it wasn't just one of several claims that the gospel makes. It wasn't just one of the many prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Christ. The resurrection is key and critical to the validity of the gospel, to the fact that all the claims that the Lord Jesus made about himself and the fact of what he would accomplish through his death, they are all validated by his resurrection. So that is why it is so fundamental.
Yes, he himself is validated by the resurrection.
Yes.
He declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, Romans chapter 1.
So if you try to excise that from your understanding of who Jesus Christ is, would you say you're left with a person that is not the historical Jesus who the Bible presents?
Yeah, and I would also say
someone whose word has not been kept.
Yeah.
Because he prophesied his own resurrection.
Yes.
So he can't be trusted. I mean, if he's wrong in that,
yeah,
what else is he wrong on?
And you're left
and
with
then he can't be God. If we can't trust him, he's not God.
Yes, and he's dead.
Yeah.
And there's no power in a dead man.
And his body is still in the grave. If he's not raised, his body is still in the grave. He hasn't defeated death.
And that means that he's powerless to help us.
Yeah, there's no hope for anyone then, because he's dead.
There's no one in heaven now representing us. There's no one in heaven who's going to come down. There's no one who's going to judge this world in the future. You think how Paul spoke to the people in Athens on Mars Hill. Times past, you know, God has overlooked the times of ignorance. Now, he commands all men to repent. For the future, because this proof is he's raised a man from the dead who will judge this world.
What would you say, though? You know, some people might say some of what appears to be historical narrative in the Bible is in fact just metaphor or allegory. And for example, there are some people who don't believe there was such a person as Adam or Eve, and it's just a story to illustrate spiritual truth. And some people also take the view that Jesus rose from the dead, but it wasn't a physical resurrection, it wasn't a bodily resurrection. He appeared as a kind of spirit or something like that. And they would deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but would still accept that there was some sort of spiritual experience the disciples had. What would you say to that?
Well, what we see in some of the appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ, obviously we know at one time he eats fish with them, but by the lakeside, and you know, spirits do not eat fish by any lakeside or anywhere. So he eats with them. The wounds, he says to Thomas, when he appears to Thomas, he says, you know, see the wounds. We don't have any evidence that Thomas put his fingers in anywhere, but he could see the wounds. A spirit doesn't have wounds as well. And the Lord Jesus describes himself having, you know, not a spirit of flesh and blood. You know, so that's what I would say to him. It's not a metaphor. You know, the very words of Jesus, the very actions of Jesus bring that clearly before us from Scripture.
But when you think of the magnitude of the claim, it's a massive claim that he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. It's unsurprising that there are a lot of people who tried to change the meaning and tried to spiritualize it. But the Bible's very clear, like you said, Paul. And one of the remarkable things is the amount of evidence that we're given. In terms of the historical detail, there's an incredibly compelling case that's given just from a historical point of view. The facts that were given, the witnesses that are cited, I mean, all of that really is astonishing. And there's even individuals, and Lee Strobel is an example of a journalist who wrote a book actually setting out to disprove the resurrection because he found the claim to be incredulous and ended up becoming convinced. When he considered the evidence.
You have 500 people at the one time agreeing on the same subject that he's risen. That doesn't happen very often.
I think it's interesting when you think about all the circumstances that surround the resurrection, that often in the miracles that the Lord Jesus did, then the Pharisees were desperate to try and disprove them. And by trying to disprove them, they only ended up proving the validity of the fact that there was this young man that was born blind and now he can see, and so on. But again, when we come to the resurrection, the way that every circumstance worked in terms of the fact that there was an empty tomb and yet the tomb was guarded by soldiers, there was a stone and a seal, and yet it was the disciples that go and they discover. And even to the fact that the disciples, who are those eyewitnesses to this, they all die for their faith. Mm-hmm. They all are put to death, not because they have made this thing up, because it's some kind of figment of their imagination. They believe in the resurrection and they're willing to put their life on the line as a result of that, which all is just some of the many circumstances which are just helping to validate the claim of the resurrection and the fact you can't really deny it. The tomb today is empty, and there's no other explanation outside of the Lord did what he said he would.
And going back, you know, about a spiritual resurrection, we remember Peter and John go to the tomb, and always, I like sort of these detective movies at times, and John goes in, he sees the folded grave clothes, you know, and it says, and then he says, why did, you know, then he believed, you know, and he looks at the folded grave clothes, the body is not there. The grave robbers haven't taken this body away. It's not that Jesus has somehow mildly recovered from this terrible crucifixion. The folded grave clothes, you know, make it that he is risen from the dead. And speaking as well, you know, we go back to the Old Testament prophecies, don't we? You know, nor did his flesh see corruption. Well, if it was just a spiritual resurrection, the body would still be there and the flesh would see corruption.
I mean, this is not the first time resurrection took place when the Lord was raised from the dead. He said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. And he proved it. And three times over, he raised someone from the dead. But this was different. He said one day, you know, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again, this commandment that I received my Father. And so the Lord's resurrection is different because death couldn't hold him. as you say, no sin, no corruption in him. Mm-hmm. And when he went into the grave, the value and work of what he did on the cross demanded that death release him, and God raised him from the dead after 3 days. And the significance in 1 Corinthians 15 is wide-reaching, because as Christians, our only hope for eternity is based upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Absolutely. If there is no resurrection, Paul just says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14 explicitly, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Mm. So faith is empty. He then said, we are even found as those who were witnesses to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. And so he goes on. And the future resurrection that the Bible speaks about is based upon the resurrection of Christ. And it's fundamental.
It goes back to the words of the Lord himself, doesn't it? Because he said, because I live, you will live also. So if he doesn't live, we won't live.
And I think that also helps us understand, when we think about the conquering ability to conquer sin, and we think of our own lives, that's the argument that the epistles use in terms of the fact that because God's great power has been displayed and he raised Christ from the dead, it's the same God that can deliver you from the indwelling power of sin. So those struggles that we all have as Christians, the confidence we have that we can overcome that, is because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead.
Absolutely. I mean, 1 Corinthians, again, for chapter 15 is a key passage on that, isn't it? I mean, Christ, it says, is the first fruits. Christ is the first fruits to be risen from the dead. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, all in Christ will be raised. And he was the first one.
So where is he now? That's the question. You know, if he rose from the dead, did he die again? Where is he? And, you know, that's the issue. Mm-hmm. That people would point to. They say, well, you know, did he die again?
Yeah, because every other person that he brought back from the dead, they died again.
Yes.
But these disciples were not only eyewitnesses of his resurrection, but his ascension.
Yes. Absolutely.
And just as he was bodily raised from the dead, so he bodily ascended into heaven. And so there is a man. This is an amazing thing. Mm. There is a man in the glory in heaven. Yeah. And he has gone in, and because he has gone in, we will be able to go in as those who have faith is in him.
Absolutely. And go into 1 Corinthians 15, just at the end of that chapter, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, speaking about Christians, of Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. There's a man in heaven, 1 Corinthians 8. So it's fundamental. And you think we've gone on to the ascension there. And as those disciples looked at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were told that this one who has gone up will come back in like manner as well. You know, the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the confidence in knowing that he's coming back is based on the fact that he first went.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, if I go, I will come again.
Yeah. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is not a spirit there in heaven. Yeah. There is a man in heaven. Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about Acts earlier, and the fact that continually it comes back to the resurrection. Mm-hmm. The apostles were witnesses of his resurrection, and I suppose the whole point there is that because of the resurrection, here's somebody that cannot be ignored. For the Christian, his resurrection means that the Christian will be raised as well. Oh. But actually, it's even broader than that. His resurrection is the first fruits, and actually there will be a day when every person is raised and will stand before God and will give an account for how we've lived.
I think that the point you make as well, when you to refer to the eyewitnesses, mm-hmm. is that our New Testament is written by people who were eyewitnesses. It wasn't written hundreds of years later when everybody was dead and gone and the truth claims that the New Testament makes couldn't be validated. People were writing about people who had been in living memory. So if they were writing things which were untrue, that people would have challenged it and said, that's not true. Mm-hmm. But the point is that the New Testament was written in living memory by people who had seen, by circumstances, place names, individuals who were real. And therefore, if what they were saying was not true, it would have been very quickly pointed out, but the very fact that they weren't challenged is evidence to the validity of the whole thing.
Isn't that why in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says in verse 6, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. Yeah. You can go and check with them.
Yeah. Do you not think it's the most unbelievable part of Christianity, though, for many people? I mean, you can believe in the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
You can even believe in the death of Jesus. But then you get to this, the resurrection.
For so many people, death is, well, it's fine, of course, but when you see
when you a body
that's gone in death, is just there's nothing there.
And so I would still wonder, though, if the issue isn't so much the fact it's a supernatural claim that people find hard, it's the implications of it. Because the Lord Jesus hasn't just died, but he's risen again, that has significant significance for
I think
us.
It's as well, it's a supernatural thing, because when you tell people today, people who have no knowledge of the Bible, you believe in someone who died and is no longer dead. That is a unique claim and a supernatural claim, and people look at you as if, how can you possibly in our day and age believe something like that? It sounds like something from the Dark Ages that people may have believed in ignorance, but with all our advances in medicine and science, how can you possibly believe that Jesus died and rose again? Because we've never seen it or anything. And this comes back to the issue of faith, which is my point. And the point is simply this, that the basis for believing that is not the historical evidence. The historical evidence is put there in the scripture to educate us about it. But it's not simply through argument that we believe this.
No.
It is by faith. The faith, same faith that causes you to believe that God created the heavens and the earth.
But it is faith grounded on a basis.
Well, faith believes what God says, doesn't it?
And I suppose the point, the journey that the apostles went on was that when John went in and he believed, what did he actually believe? Because he saw the facts and he was able to be convinced of the facts, but the faith was something that the Spirit of God brings about, so that the spiritual aspect to it was something that is that happened later. It didn't happen at the time where he went into the tomb and he saw the evidence. So the point is that it's the starting place, but it's not the end place.
And you've also got the example of people who weren't followers of Jesus, who were actually critics and opposed to him, like James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, like Saul of Tarsus, who was determined to exterminate the Christians and stamp out the name of Christ. And yet, these are two men who, confronted with the evidence, responded with faith.
In faith. I think you know, what we bring to the table here is that faith is not a blind faith, a leap in the dark. You know, based on nothing whatsoever, but our faith in Jesus Christ is based on credible evidence.
And the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was then, as you said, was probably the fiercest and most vocal opponent of this very truth. He did not believe Jesus had risen from the dead. He believed that Jesus was an imposter, a charlatan. And then the Lord appeared to him miraculously on that road to Damascus, and faced with that evidence, he was convicted of his sin, and he trusted the risen Lord to be his saviour, and the rest is history, so to speak. But it was based upon that moment where he was convicted of his sin, faced with the resurrected Christ and the implications of it.
So how about these people in this survey that we mentioned at the start? 25% who identified themselves as Christians said they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What can we say about that?
My question to them would be, why would you want to claim to be a Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection? What do you mean by being a Christian? What is the benefit of being a Christian if there's no resurrection?
Yeah, we are of all men most to be pitied. But I think that the thing is that, and it's important to point out, that we have to believe in what the Bible declares the Lord Jesus to be, and a failure to do that isn't just an academic exercise. Our eternity depends on it. So, for instance, when the Lord reveals himself as the I Am, unless you believe that I Am, you will die in your sins. So if we deny the fact that the Lord Jesus is God incarnate, we can believe all the things that there is to believe, but if we deny that point, we're not a Christian, we're not saved, we're not going to heaven.
So there'll be some things that are there some things we could not believe in the Bible and still be a Christian? And there's some things, if we don't believe what the Bible says, then there's no way we can be a Christian.
Absolutely.
So, and is the resurrection one of those?
Slightly differently.
Okay, let's.
And that there are some parts of the Bible where people interpret it differently.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But still believe it to be the Word of God.
Of course.
But they're understanding. And right, you open your Bible, some people would say, well, the earth is 6,000, 8,000 years old. Mm. Some people would read Genesis 1 and say, no, the earth is millions of years old. But when you come to the New Testament and you're presented with the resurrection, there is an explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as to the fact that this is fundamental to the gospel and that it's an essential element in the saving work of Jesus Christ and the whole matter of salvation which he has provided. And this is critical, and Scripture is careful to lay that emphasis upon this issue. So, for example, other issues such as what date or what time did this take place in the Old Testament, you know, come to the New Testament and some of the pictures that God uses to instruct us about the future, subject to interpretation and our understanding of what has been taught. When you come to the issues of the gospel, you've got verses like this. Paul says, as plainly as he can to the Corinthians, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was seen. And he goes on to explain. And he's outlined there the basic fundamentals of the gospel that he delivered and they responded to.
Yeah. So the great promise as well, we said at the start, Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, make that confession to God that he is Lord, he is sovereign, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, believe in that saving work accomplished on the cross, you will be saved. So Jesus is our Lord and he is our Saviour. He is our Saviour, we know, because he's risen from the dead. And the great promise is, we'll be saved.
And I think that the verse in 1 Corinthians that I delivered to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Mm. The point is that we might believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and we might believe he was the Son of God, and we might believe he was raised from the dead, but unless we actually believe he died for our sins, mm-hmm. we can't be saved. Mm-hmm. Because unless we accept the fact that there at the cross, God punished his Son and laid upon him his wrath and his judgment for our sin, there is no salvation. Because mm. we're not believing what the Bible says.
Aye. These things are of first importance, exactly. Crucial, yeah. Saving importance.
I was going to ask you the question, the question that you posted at the beginning, can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? Can you be a Christian and not have heard about the resurrection?
Yeah. Well, as we've said, as has been said, you know, the gospel message has some fundamental parts in it, and it is a message about a God who is holy, about a man who is sinful, and about a Christ who has suffered for our sin and been raised from the dead. And our response is faith.
Every one of us here have given out seed sores or John 3:16 bags. Mm. No, the resurrection is not mentioned in that. Mm-hmm. But do you believe that God can save through that?
Pardon?
Do you believe that God can save through that being given out?
Through John 3:16. I don't think every verse, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the resurrection is not mentioned in that.
To the Philippian jailer as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we don't see in every single verse in the Bible the resurrection, obviously. But you have to believe in the resurrection, a resurrected Christ to be saved, yes.
Maybe you've got an example in Acts, whenever you come across John's disciples in Acts chapter 19. And here are men who were seeking God. They're not yet Christians. They hadn't yet heard the message of Christ and his death or his resurrection. But they are seeking God, and I think it demonstrates that principle that those who seek God will reveal himself to and bring the truth to. And whenever they did hear the message of the crucified, risen Saviour, they then responded to that and were I became Christians.
I think, just to pick up your point, I do think that when people who have not heard the gospel and then they hear a Bible text or a few Bible texts and they respond in faith and trust the Saviour that they hear about, which is the Saviour who died for their sins, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son and so forth, and they place their faith in Christ, and then they're educated again about the Christ that they trust. And, you know, rather than just sort of be very firm in our divisions as to the Christ that they trust must be the resurrected Christ. Absolutely. There's no question about that. But, for example, a child of 6 or 7 years old whose knowledge of all things will develop as they grow up, their understanding of the gospel is going to be fairly limited. But, you know, they trust the Lord Jesus who loved them, died for them, and they should be told rose again for them. No question about that. But there are so many aspects of the gospel that we come into a fuller understanding of as we are saved. And
yeah, but anyone that is saved is saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Saviour.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
And the Saviour is the resurrected. They must believe in the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Saviour. And it's a challenge, actually, to those of us who preach and witness publicly. You know, how often do we mention the resurrection in the preaching of the gospel?
And as Paul said in Acts, it was mentioned
the resurrection was the primary focus, more so than the death of Christ in the book of Acts.
But that was partly, of course, because most of the people who were listening in the book of Acts, or a lot of the people listening in the book of Acts, knew about the death of Christ anyway. So, exactly. Yeah. Whereas today, people know about neither.
Yeah. But the whole truth about the resurrection in the Acts is linked just as much with his role as judge in the future as it is with his role as saviour as well. So that's another aspect to it as well, that actually the resurrection, the Bible teaches, declares that he will one day judge all the world in righteousness.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the question of the gospel is, you know, we can look at John 3:16, you know, belief in him, not perish, have eternal life. But what Jesus is that you are believing in? Who is he? And there's more has to be explained, because we could go to cults, and yeah, they believe in Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. And we believe in a Jesus who was truly God and truly man. That's the great mystery, isn't it? That's a great mystery, who suffered the punishment for sin and rose again. We have to believe that about Jesus Christ.
And to point out as well that if any man preach any other gospel, any other Jesus, let him be anathema.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I think we can say in a conclusion then that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is fundamental to gospel belief. And can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? The answer would be no to that. Similar, can an atheist believe in God? Well, that's impossible. And to be a Christian, you must believe in a resurrected Jesus Christ.